This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
Good morning and welcome to an election morning on the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Good morning, Calvin. It's here.
It's here. We made it.
Yeah, it's been a long slog, as they say, and, you know, it's here. But my special guest... Sandy Williams, a host,
is who is this guy?
is here today. As we've said, he's going to join us every day this week as we, you know, talk about just where we are. I'm happy to have him. I'm glad he accepted.
You know, elections are something that's changed. You know, it used to be you'd have the election on Tuesday, and Tuesday night about 9:30, you knew who won, and the speed of the news traveled at the same speed as light, right? And now what we've got is an explosion that happens. We see the cloud, but we don't hear the noise for potentially days. It's going to be, I was listening this morning to a discussion of how the AP calls these, and depending on how things go in some of the close states, you know, it might be next Tuesday. You know, last election, it took until... I think the Friday or Saturday following.
You know, Sandy, the upheaval that will happen if that's the case, you know, I think even worse this time around than it was the last time. The upheaval would just be, I don't know if the American people can stand it.
Well, I mean, there's been so much discussion and evidence showing how valid the voting process is, how sanctified it is, how carefully handled it is, how not subject to fraud it is, that those are the facts. But we have a whole bunch of people out there willing to believe and believing that it's not the case, you know, that there's underlying fraud, that there's some kind of fix in, and, you know, in spite of the fact that there are no facts to support it. So if we have a long delay, it just gives much longer time for all of that to stew. You know, what is happening now? You know, what is physically happening in this count?
So before we get into all of that, we've got some really sad news about a young man who you and I both knew and who was a great state representative for the city of Milwaukee for many years, and he wound up then becoming an alderman, and a guy who I used to have on the radio show when we were in Milwaukee over on
Brady Street.
And he filled in for me a few times. Jonathan Brusto, very smart family guy, four young children, really committed to the community, and he was more than a politician. He was a guy who heard his constituents, who spoke for his constituents, who fought for his constituents, and he fought for justice and action, Sandy. That's who Jonathan Brostoff was.
Yeah, he was a wonderful person, and, you know, I know him and his family, and you know, Jonathan superficially was this person, this dynamo who was doing great things. But privately, throughout a life, he struggled with mental illness, with depression. And unfortunately, the mental illness, depression won that battle, and he took his life. You know, suicide's a terribly sad thing. And it brings, I think, kind of levels out all of this stuff about elections and campaigns, and when we realize the importance of super, you know, really important things, which is family and the healthiness of the people we love. But I hope that people understand that the fight that Jonathan Brostoff had was a terribly difficult one, and mental illness is a terribly difficult thing. I was involved with another and very close to a young man who had the same outcome, Charles Kubley, and his family has devoted itself to working with on the issue of depression, young adult depression and suicide. And we should all be aware of the fact that this is an illness, and it's something that everyone needs to be aware of and self-aware of. People out there who are feeling the pangs of depression need to address it, need to understand they aren't alone. And you know, this is another reason why our healthcare system needs to make sure that it addresses mental illness as well as physical illness.
Well, you know, Sandy, I've been dealing for 25 years, the better part of a quarter of a century, with the mental illness of my son. And you know, it doesn't go away. You know, they can give him medication. And you know, my son was court-ordered medicated. And they changed the laws in the middle of the stream and said, well, it's not legal to court-order people to be medicated, and then and their constitutional rights are being interrupted. And I remember the fight that I had with Milwaukee County Health and Human Services to try to save my own son's life. And I was saying to them, how can he be court-ordered medicated for all these years, and now all of a sudden you've changed this, and now you are saying that people who are mentally ill have a constitutional right to say, no, I don't want to take medication. How can it be both?
Well, it's all, you know, the whole area is a very complex area, and without getting into that kind of an issue, I think that what people do need to understand is that depression is a pervasive mental illness issue, and people who are feeling the pangs of it or might be suspicious that they're suffering from it need to reach out and understand that there is help out there. Not enough. And it's not always a successful fight. Jonathan was a very successful young man in every kind of superficial way. And he was very successful in this long fight, lived to be, I believe 41. He was 41, but that was probably a difficult journey for him, but he did wonderful things.
No question. But I'd also say this before we move on is, you know, Sandy, this life is not easy for all. And life is a difficult journey. And those who, none of us get away, no matter who we are, without being tried in this life. And so some of us are able to deal with the trials and tribulations of life better than others. Well, but all of us are going to be tried.
Yeah, I mean, and also I think this is just a time for us to pause maybe and realize that much of what people are like talking about in the election or vilifying in the election, gender issues, all these things touch families, many families, and they're highly personal, okay? And I'm leaping from this issue of mental illness to other things, but
they're interconnected.
But they're interconnected in the way that people need to be empathetic, and people should understand and shouldn't and need to understand that this touches families, whether they're Republicans or Democrats,
rich or poor,
whether they're rich or poor, right. Whether they're Christian or Muslim or whatever,
black or white,
and so there's a unifying aspect to the problems we have of living, right? The problems that we face as families, as extended families, as human beings, and in a way, it should be a unifying force instead of a divisive force. And I'm terribly angry with those in the political process who want to make this and these things divisive problems.
I think, Sandy, that's very well said, and needed to be said, because if there is one thing that should be uniting all of us, it's that common denominator of
humanity.
We're the same. Yes.
Yeah. This is all about the humanity, and to vilify portions of it. Whether if I'm a Democrat, I'm not evil. Okay. Even though,
Dickens, you say.
Well, I know, but I mean, in a rally last night, in his last rally, the candidate Trump said he wasn't running against Kamala. He was running against the Democrat that, and their evil people. And, I fear that we've made politics into a crusade that is designed to divide humanity, to divide the humanity in all of us, and to cause us to find the we and the they. And, it's one thing if we and they are simply in a different party, but if they become an evil enemy, and if we've created a religious crusade of the sort that is the kind we throw our body into and our life willing to give our blood for, we've made a terrible mistake.
You know, Sandy, the reality of it is somebody is making this happen. We as individuals and as voters, we aren't sitting back concocting these kinds of thoughts and whatnot. There's somebody who's orchestrating it. There's a puppet master, right? And he's pulling the strings.
Yes, and sometimes I hate to get falsely liturgical about this, but it's the evil angel is the one that gets you, right? And I use the word angel.
Oh, yeah, on the
shoulders. The devil comes and dressed as an angel, as the savior, and that it isn't. And so, I just fear that we've got this very strange thing ongoing right now in which we've decided politically that we're going to vilify one another, that we're going to separate the humanity within us and cause us to detest things about others that are subject to being things that we all might have to be worried about ourselves.
Yeah, I think that's very well said, Sandy. 855-752-4842. It's an election day on the Earl Ingram Show. Again, our phone lines are open. It's your thing. It's your thing. You can do what you want to do. We're going to talk about all the different things that are associated with the election. 855-752-4842. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Man, I haven't heard that in a long time. Beautiful, beautiful song. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram song. Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Tuesday. That means my co-host Sandy. Sandy, the music.
Well, the music today is all about unification, unity, love. You know, we've got this election. We've got to get it behind us. But I hope that our future can be shaped much more in the nature of a peaceful coexistence, non-suspicious, open, loving kind of recognition of all of our humanity. So that's the music.
Yeah, well, you may have to go to Mars in order to to get that. Who was that, by the way? I forgot who that was.
It's a group called Men of Africa.
I remember that song, and it was always a beautiful, beautiful song. But anyway.
No, it's not. Brotherhood of Man.
Yeah. All right. Sandy, judges deny request to block DOJ from monitoring polls. Sandy, the Department of Justice monitoring elections. Let me read this paragraph. And then, federal judges denied two states' requests to bar the Justice Department from dispatching lawyers to monitor adherence to federal voting rights and laws on Election Day. Both Missouri and Texas asked federal courts to keep the DOJ lawyers away from their polls. Missouri's Attorney General and Secretary of State said any monitoring would displace the state elections authorities, and Texas's Attorney General contended that Texas law alone determines who can monitor voting in Texas. Your thoughts?
Well, this is another situation where the bringing of the lawsuit is designed or maybe premised on the notion that the federal government has been politically weaponized, and that an organization like the Department of Justice, okay, which is which represents the tool that the United States federal government has for making sure that federal law is enforced, is somehow a biased organization that shouldn't be allowed to watch over the polls and make sure that polling laws are honored. It's again part of this process of dividing us up. And, you know, I guess in my mind, I think I said it at the time when we talked about it a long time ago, when Mitt Romney said maybe Biden should have pardoned Trump. I at the time thought he should have, not because Trump wasn't guilty of whatever it was he was being charged with, but rather the fact that bringing the lawsuits allowed those who were championing Trump from a political standpoint to point at the lawsuits to argue that shows the weaponization of the government politically. And I don't think it is the weaponization of it, but it has allowed this kind of lawsuit to have some sort of potential legitimacy. And, you know, the fact is that I don't think the government was weaponized. I think that it was simply following the trail of evidence. But, you know, now we're at where we're at. And we do have callers who call in and other people who I think many of the MAGA Republicans would tell you that their belief is that the federal government has been weaponized.
So let me ask you, Sandy, what perplexes me about all of this and has from the beginning? Just because somebody feels something's not right, do we have to respond as a government? The Department of Justice shouldn't be responding to somebody feeling like something's not right. How can it? I don't follow that. The power of the DOJ should not be compromised to address somebody feeling like they've been disenfranchised. Shouldn't there be facts?
I absolutely. But the problem with the source of our power in our government is the trust of the people, okay? And so when you destroy the people's trust in government, and if you do that kind of in an organized fashion like is ongoing now, you really lose the basic foundations of our government, and everything within the government is subject to being distrusted and attacked. So this lawsuit was brought by people who wanted to block the Department of Justice's capacity to oversee processes at the polling place. And the court said, no, actually the Department of Justice is entitled to do that. The fact is that the lawsuit was brought out of this suspicion, or maybe it brought to demonstrate the fact that there should be suspicion.
Well, Sandy, if the courts respond to a segment, because that's a segment of the population, that's not the overall population itself, how can they respond to segments of the population that impacts the entire population?
Well, like I said, our government is fragile. I can remember my father telling me that and me not believing it. And I don't know what his experience had been other than the fact that he'd lived a long time prior to my life. But, you know, the fragility of our government, and he lived through the Depression, and I suspect that felt like a very fragile time with the government actually kind of teetering because everything was collapsing around everyone, and maybe they decided what good is government in this circumstance. But the fact is that it's the basis of our government is the trust of the people in the government processes and in the norms of government, so that all the elements of government don't have to be taken to court to test. And then if you're attacking not only the government but the courts, okay, now you're left with nothing, okay? And I would just remind the people that right now, politically, there's a whole group of people who want to, number one, attack the government, and number two, attack the courts, which leaves us with nothing.
855-752-4842. It's election day on the Earl Ingram Show. My co-host Sandy Williams is here as well. Your thoughts, we're looking for those right now.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
You know, I remember when they put that together, it was to deal with the famine.
Well, it was USA for Africa.
Yes.
And it was what it was called. And yeah, it was to deal with, I think, famine issues in Africa. And
yes.
Maybe South Africa as well. But there was so much good music that was written around this notion of unity that was easy to find.
Well,
some
stuff. That's a great choice. The first two are just great choices. 855-752-4842. It's an election Tuesday, and Sandy Williams, my co-host, is here. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to CJ. And before we go to CJ, Governor Evers has put the National Guard on alert.
Well, I think that's been done in like 26 states.
Sandy, yeah. We're talking about American elections.
Yeah.
That we have to come to that, that we've come to that.
Well, let's hope we haven't, and let's hope that this is all an abundance of caution that won't be needed. But I fear that the atmosphere, this crusade atmosphere we have, has put us into sort of a tinderbox, and that's not good.
All right, CJ, you're up.
Morning, gentlemen. My work with you, gentlemen, has almost come to a rest for a while.
Your work?
Yep, because I take it on as who's the gentleman that used to say the rest of the story? Because you guys generally just tell part of the story. I love this call of unity, but when we've watched for 8 years the destruction of our most cherished institutions.
Like what?
You know?
What's that?
The dual purpose.
What's the most cherished institution?
FBI. Well, I'll explain.
The FBI is not our most cherished institution. So,
They paid social media. They paid Facebook to keep things from us. We've watched the dual purpose of our justice system. The same thing,
So let me just say, CJ, let me just, we were talking before you came on, maybe you were listening. So you're describing what you believe to be the weaponization of government. Is that right?
Very much so.
Okay. All right. So, I think that's something we have to deal with, because there are a lot of people who apparently believe, as you do, that all this has occurred. I happen to think it's fallacious. I happen to think I do think government has periodically and frequently made mistakes, okay? And it's made mistakes, whoever is at the helm. And I'm confident and certain that when Donald Trump was at the helm and was leaning on social media very hard, was bringing lawsuits against social media when they didn't kowtow to what he wanted them to be presenting or not presenting, that was a direct assault on amendment rights. But, the fact is we need to work our way through it.
Well, I watched Paul Ryan believe the Russian collusion crap. I watched you promote it with pencil neck shift. I watched the news media.
So here's why, it is so hard to deal with, people who can't have a conversation without talking about other people, and to call a man names. You are a disciple of Donald Trump. That's not a good thing, because Donald Trump is not brilliant enough to have a dialogue and a conversation and adult enough without calling people names. And you fall right along the lines with him.
The mere fact that you gentlemen still believe Adam Schiff, the way that he lied for 2.5 years.
Actually, CJ, I think we should nip this one in the bud. But I think the problem is ascribing to other people what their thoughts are. You just told me that I believe Adam Schiff. We haven't even ever had a conversation that would suggest that I've thought about what Adam Schiff had to say or believe it. But I do think that evidence is evidence, okay? And Robert Mueller and the Mueller report and other things were filled with evidence. And you can all look at the evidence and look at it from different angles like people do. But, facts are facts. There are plenty of facts that were underlying situations that resulted in the legal situations that have been overanalyzed in the public. I'm sorry that the government didn't decide and that the President Biden didn't decide to pardon Trump, even though that was something Donald Trump would never have done were the circumstances to be reversed. Donald Trump has talked about pursuing his enemies, using all the apparatus of government. He talked and tried to initiate that process while he was in office, trying to get his Department of Justice to do things when there were individual guardrails, individuals within the Department of Justice who said, I'm sorry, hold on. So anyway, I just think that What we need to get past is all of this, and that's why the music is about unity.
It's election day.
Yeah.
And so we're not going back to some foolishness. The truth of the matter is Donald Trump, you're talking about what they should have done, and yet Donald Trump is already convicted. The other thing is, I've got a text here. CJ, what do you see when you look in the mirror? The sky is not falling. Get out of the rain and look for the sun. So that's right. So, I mean, you can keep carrying this with you even after the election, but many of us are looking to move forward. And so if that means that, you know, we don't have to talk with CJ again because you've decided to call a halt, then thank you for the time. We're moving on. Let's go to Gene from McClare. Good morning to you, Gene. You say what?
Good morning, guys. Today is a big day, and I'm praying as I did previously 4 years ago when Donald Trump was in office. I watched live all the stuff that he caused, the lies, the deception, and only he could have the answers. I watched the people that sat around the table who praised him. Around the table, all of the people he put into office, oh, you're the most wonderful guy, you're the best president in the United States of America. I watched him as he belittled anybody that disagreed with him, and most of the time he was not appropriate. I am hitting my head against the wall, just kidding, no. I'm thinking to myself, what in the world would we pardon Donald Trump for? He does not believe that he makes any mistakes. He is above the law. We have laws in place, and we want our laws followed by whoever is in office. We do not pardon people for all of the hatred and all of the illegal actions, and there's still documents missing from Mar-a-Lago. We are the United States of America. We are better than this. We do not kowtow to liars and cheats and people that run others down and people who put women's lives at risk, taking away their rights to get health care. Women are dying. These people did it. We need to get out there and save women's lives and help our kids. What in the world kind of a United States of America are we setting up for these kids? Kids are depressed now. They see this stuff.
Hey, Gene, thank you very much for the call. Sandy, you want to respond to saying that she believes that there should be no pardon for Donald Trump?
Well, my notion of a pardon wasn't a forgiveness. It was simply a technical act taken by a president to, much the way Ford pardoned Nixon in the 70s with respect to the Watergate crimes. But it's neither here nor there. I'm hoping for unity going forward. And I guess based on the nature of what's been set on the table right now, we've got a ways to go before we can get there.
Yeah, I think there's no question. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Yeah, first off, we the people ultimately are the government. And we are, that means all of us. That means CJ, that means Dave, that means all of the callers. We're all in this together. So grow up and be an American. Look out for your neighbor. Do the things that Jesus Christ said in Matthew 15. Look at all of the other commandments that this guy has broken. Every commandment he has broken. So for you people out there that call yourself Christians, I'm going to call you the anti-Christians until you start acting like Christ acted. And also, get out and vote. Don't worry about what happens afterwards. You know what? There are more of us than there are of them. And I'm telling you right now, they need to start coming over to our side because we are actually holding out a hand of honesty and truthfulness. If they want to come to the table and be truthful and honest and come with good intentions, then great. We can all get along, no problem. But I do believe there's more of us than there is a small minority of them. We're going to find out today when this landslide happens, because that's going to happen today. And Sandy, Ford should have never, ever pardoned Nixon. That's where some of the sin comes from.
All right, Tom, thank you very much for the call. You want to respond to any of that, Sandy?
Well, I'm just against we, they, no matter from what direction it comes. And so I wouldn't stand behind all of what was said there. But and whether Ford should have pardoned Nixon or not, I lived through it. I don't know whether he did. But I think it was the right thing to do at the time. And I'm not sure. I'm not going to rehash. It didn't happen, right? So, but I'm simply saying what I hope for is that we reestablish trust in government. We need to get there.
So the only way we can reestablish trust in government is to somehow get the person who's orchestrating the mistrust in government to just say, "Hey,
well, we got
it's
to-
over."
I think we need to expose the angel for what they are really are. Okay, it's like I was saying earlier, and because it is the devil in disguise, and we need to make sure that we don't move in the direction of sowing all of this kind of suspicion and the suspicion that destroys the foundations of government. Because when you destroy the foundations of our government, you know, when you have the media in a state of collapse, and courts, legislature, everyone else in disrepute, you've got nothing.
You know, Sandy, this can also, based on the outcome of this election, split us up even further and make things even worse if things don't go according to the plans of somebody.
Well, I think we just need to all sit up and recognize what's going on and hopefully wake up.
And listen a little bit more to We Are the World.
Exactly.
All right. Welcome back. Got to take a break. 855-752-4842. You can play that all day, every day. You're tuned into the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Think about the generations and to say we want to make it a better place for our children and our children's children so that they...
Another great, great song.
...for them and think if they can make it a better place.
There's a place in your heart, and I know that it is love. Much brighter than tomorrow, and if you really try, you'll find there's no need to cry. In this place, you feel there's no hurt or sorrow. There are ways to get there if you care enough for the living. Make a little space, make a better place. Heal the world.
All right, welcome back to a election day, on the Earl Ingram Show. You know, my co-host Sandy Williams is here, and we want to get right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Dave from San Francisco. Good morning to you, Dave. You say what?
Oh, morning, Earl. Sandy. I'm glad you're heralding the We Are the World stuff, and especially today. If you remember back those days, you know, there was a huge amount of bigotry from previous to that. And when he came up with that concert and he was able to include just this wide variety of different artists that took part in it, that all of a sudden put Africa on the map as some place to cherish as opposed to just view them. You know, the bigots always used to decry it and let them starve, you know. So if a person is in starvation, they don't have the ability to think clearly. They don't have the ability to look out for their neighbors. They don't have the ability to, despair is the name of the game when you're in starvation. And the old boys love that because they can get the minerals cheap. They can get, they can loot nations, but through starvation. King Leopold taught us that. And so Michael Jackson and the team that put that together really did an enormous amount of good for the world. And when you look at the way Trump is trying to take us back to the old days of bigots, that these old bigots, they're the ones that are right and you better toe the line, that's not America. And as a matter of fact, I was on a Texas show just, I don't know, an hour ago, and they're trying to whip the women into line by, don't you lie to your husband about who you voted for. You better vote for who I tell you to vote for. And when I challenged them on it, I said, free the MAGA slaves. Boy, they slammed down the phone on me.
David, thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. You say what?
Good morning, guys. It just strikes me odd that, we're in the United States and we don't tie unity with united. I say the topic of the morning unity is a prerequisite to having a republic. And it's critical. It's everything. We should be trusting and relying upon one another. You know, it's what makes up the spirit of the United States. But unfortunately for the last 40, 45 years, the Republicans have put in people that don't believe in there is such thing as good government. They put in shills for the moneyed interests that have committed to reducing and shrinking government down to nothing. Grover Norquist had literally hundreds of signatures, to keep austerity down, don't spend any money, continue reducing. I say again, unity is everything. It's a prerequisite. And with that, we can accomplish anything. Anything is possible when we're unified and we're all working together and we're striving for to improve our nation, improve our communities, and improve our households. When we work together, everything just seems to work out. It's when we dig in our heels and get all stubborn. You know, that's when the divide and conquer comes in. And unfortunately, we've had way too much of that influence.
Hey, Mike, well said. Thank you very much for the call. Hang on the phone lines, 855-752-4842, and Election Tuesday, and my co-host Sandy Williams and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You left for me for our children. The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.